For Richer for Poorer by Kerry Wilkinson. Read by Becky Hindley. For my little sister. Good job we grew up. Chapter 1. Harriet Blackledge closed the door of the children's bedroom and leant against the hallway wall, letting out a large breath. It had been another one of those days. Ian had been called into the office for yet another Sunday, and she'd been left lugging the kids around Chester Zoo by herself. By the time she'd stopped them running off, persuaded them they weren't allowed to ride the giant tortoises, and told them that climbing into the primate enclosure wasn't a good idea, she was exhausted. When it came to monkeys, her pair were quite enough, thank you. Ian's voice echoed through the house from downstairs. "Harry, where's the TV remote?" Harriet winced. Having spent the past 25 minutes reading Gemma and Thomas' separate bedtime stories, the last thing she wanted was her husband's booming voice to wake them up again. She made delicate shushing noises and started down the stairs. Quite how she'd got to this, she wasn't really sure. She had a degree and wanted a career at some point, yet somehow she'd ended up as one of those kept stay-at-home mums she'd always ridiculed. Tripping over the bottom step, Harriet righted herself and headed into the living room. "Always in the same spot. It's not as if it's grown legs. Things don't just walk." Ian Blackledge was picking up cushions from the sofa before turning and spotting his wife in the doorway. "There you are. Do you know... I've just put the kids to bed. You're going to wake them." Ian scowled at his wife for a moment. He hated being interrupted, which was why Harriet did it as often as she could. She held his gaze until he went back to searching. He continued as if nothing had happened, his boring voice boring into the walls, boring her, boring, boring, boring. "I was just saying that these things don't lose themselves. Whenever I've finished watching television, I leave it on the table underneath. That way I know where to find it again." Harriet rolled her eyes behind his back. How many times had he said "I" in that sentence? I. What a wanker. And she was married to him. 4,535 days and counting. That's how long ago it was that she'd said "I do." Back then there was no money, no big house, no expensive dresses, and no bloody business. "I mean, it's not that hard, is it? If you use something, you put it back where you picked it up from." At least she had the kids. She had them. Ian had been in Johannesburg when Gemma was born, and his phone had been buzzing constantly when Thomas said hello to the world. Well, gurgled a sob at the world. "I've said it before, Harry, and I'm serious this time. Someone's going to have a word with those kids. Always picking things up and not returning them. I mean, someone's going to have a word." Meaning her. He wasn't even subtle nowadays. The words slipped out before Harriet even knew they were in her head. "They've got names." Ian spun around again, cushion in hand. "What?" "Our kids. They have names, Gemma and Thomas." "What are you trying to say?" "They're not those kids, they're our kids and they have names." Ian frowned again. He didn't like people talking back to him, which Harriet well knew because of the amount of time he spent banging on about it. Most of his complaints about work ended with, "And I'm not sure who it is they think they're talking to. But I'm the boss of that company, and I'll happily fire them if that's what they want." That was a clean version, anyway. After a few drinks, he'd be threatening any number of anatomically awkward acts upon his workforce. Harriet suspected he was worse to work for than he was to live with, and that was saying something. She continued holding his stare. This time, Ian didn't look away. "What are you trying to say?" He couldn't even think of a different question, but there was no going back now. Harriet felt something flare in her stomach. It had been there many times before, but she always backed down, unwilling to have the argument, always thinking of the children. She took a deep breath. "They're kids. Children play. They were watching The Lion King in here earlier while I cooked tea.